Please be seated. It's apparently vineyard season. We had one last week and we have another one this week. But they are different stories. However, like all parables, they raise some questions, hopefully. It's sort of the point of a parable. One professor told me while I was in seminary that if you get to the end of the parable and you are not surprised, you have not read it correctly yet. This vineyard, and this is like the deluxe edition of vineyards. It's been built, there's a wall, there's a wine press, there's a watchtower. This is the vineyard every other vineyard owner wants. And the vineyard owner has leased it out. He has found people and has made an agreement with them, and he's traveled off on some wild and extravagant lifestyle, or perhaps to see to other parts of business. There are unanswered questions here. And the time has come, because travel then was more difficult and there was no direct authorization for paying your rent, so you waited if you were the vineyard owner, and once a year, after everything has been gathered in, you sent someone to collect what was owed to you as the owner of the vineyard. And he sends his slaves out. And they don't come back. They're treated rather horribly. Well, they're killed. It's not a nice end for them. So nothing comes back to him. Well, travel was dangerous. So he sends some more servants out, some more slaves out, and they get killed too. So thinking about this, he says, clearly they do not respect my servants. I will send my son. Surely they can respect him. They will know he speaks for me. But the son too is killed. There are really a lot of questions that are left to us to answer here. There's the question of what were the tenants of the vineyard thinking? They'd been entrusted with much, after all. They had the deluxe vineyard to live in. And all that was asked was that they pay the owner of the vineyard his due once a year. So we have to sort of wonder what was going on in their heads when they killed all of his messengers. It may also be worth wondering what happened when the slaves got to the vineyard. How did they approach the tenants of the vineyard? Were they imperious in their request? Were they confident that their master had trusted them with the appropriate amount of authority? Were they friendly? How did that interaction go? Of course, however that went, the murder at the end of it is not justified. And then we are also left with the question Jesus poses. What will happen next? The chief priests and the Pharisees give their answer, but it might be worth wondering for ourselves how we would answer that. I think there's another question here, though. The vineyard owner has bought his vineyard. He has set it up beautifully. It is the vineyard to own. The wall and the wine press and the watchtower, it's the real thing. You want this vineyard if you have a vineyard. And then he leaves and he entrusts it to these tenants of his. But he is gone for a long time, and it is worth asking, I think, how the vineyard is being governed. Did the slaves come and find it in great repair, and tenants who hoped maybe one day to buy it from a long-distance owner? Did they come and they find it sort of falling apart? I think the church often feels that we're the slaves who have been sent to the vineyard, and we get treated very poorly in the midst of it. Which might be fair, might not be fair. I think we forget, though, in the midst of that, this other question of wondering how the vineyard is being governed. Because we are far less the slaves who have been sent to gather what is due our master, and far more the vineyard itself. And the question of how we are governed, how we are held together, what is our common way, and what would our master find if he were to return, is a good question. Perhaps the most commonly given answer for how the church is governed is by the Bible. And even more commonly than that is the first reading we had this morning. This is one of the readings of the Ten Commandments. And this would be an unfair question, but I know you have them in front of you. Do we know what the Ten Commandments are? You're either very confident or you've forgotten that they're on the sheet in front of you. So there are 10 of them. What are they? Let's start with one and see how everyone else does. No other gods, we had that up here too. What else? There were 9 left. No killing, no murder. Honor your father and mother. No coveting what your neighbors have. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This does something useful with it. Shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. I kind of liked that reading of it. What else? Keep the Sabbath. Do not covet. We've had that one. No stealing. No graven image. No murdering. No adultery. Have we had false witness? False witness. Shall not bear false witness. Yeah, we've had no stealing. I think we got all 10 of them. That's good. It's nice when they're in front of you, isn't it? That's often one of the standards that's upheld, sort of the basics of the law. In the New Testament, we have a re-giving of the law. There's the young man who goes to Jesus and says, "What are the most important commandments?" And Jesus' answer is not any of the 10 commandments. Who knows what that answer is? Love God, love your neighbor. And all other commandments hang on these. So there's sort of a reinforcement of a couple things, and then everything else flows from this. But this question is still good for us to ponder. How are we governed? What is keeping the vineyard in whatever state of repair it is? The answer of the Bible is helpful. And there are certainly, if you are like me, you can read the list of 10 commandments and think, I do pretty well at most of these, but there may be one or two you struggle with, like I do. We have lost some knowledge of what it is to keep the Lord's Day holy. I'm sure many of you decry what the younger generation does with the use of the Lord's name. Those commandments about not coveting and bearing false witness, those are a little sticky. How exactly we work those out. But that list has to be far easier than Jesus' suggestion that it all boils down to loving God and loving our neighbor. Because those are two awfully hard things to do all the time, aren't they? So how are we governed? There's a polity answer to that for those of us in the Anglican tradition. We have priests and bishops and archbishops, but that doesn't really help us. Not today when someone's going to sit in the chair you wanted at coffee hour, or there's someone driving poorly on the road and your response might just threaten that commandment about taking the Lord's name in vain. Maybe. Or next week, when your family doesn't call when you want them to. this question of how we are governed. What is the state of this vineyard? It's a very complicated question. And complicated questions have complicated answers. There's no easy list I can refer you to, no succinct stating of things to do and do not that make this easy. The secret is probably one of those unanswered questions about this parable of the vineyard. How did the conversation go? When the messengers of the master showed up to ask the tenants for what was due the master, how did that conversation go? How good are we at sitting down and talking about the things that are going on? That's where it really starts. It gets harder then, because then we have to talk about the things that aren't going well, and those are never fun conversations. They never get easier. But it's in the middle of those conversations and that struggle to remember that God loves us and God loves this neighbor of ours we may currently be at odds with, that we discover how the vineyard is being kept. Are we treating each other as something we would be delighted to share with God? The good news, because all too often that answer is that we could probably do better at that. The good news is that God loves us. And God knows we struggle with this, which is why Jesus reminded us that the secret to all of the law, to all of the Bible, to all of God's history of interacting with God's beloved people, is that God loves us, and our job is to try and love others. Amen.